Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, January 1st, 2011, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu.
Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki, or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. From the seed that Enki planted, deep within human DNA, that potential is now awakening. Now is the time for the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, that miraculous gift of Source, to complete its awakening. It is time for the truth to come out, for the shackles on bodies, minds, and spirits to fall away. It is time for humankind to assert its sovereign right to stand as equals among the peoples of conscience.
Welcome, Sovereigns, and Happy New Year. Some of y'all may have joined me at my earlier show, and if you're in that number, welcome back. Figured I'd do a fun show to close out the first day of 2011 and kind of set the tone for the year at a little higher level, maybe. So, forgive me, guys, my throat is not the best in the world tonight, so we'll see how much I can get through this show without coughing. The first thing I was thinking that we might do, if anybody wants to call in at any point, and of what we were doing earlier this in my earlier show was people calling in with their intentions for this year, not just their resolutions. I'm talking about their intentions, the things that they intend to make manifest, those things that they are going to do, D-U, to completion, that they're really willing to commit to, heart and soul. So if anybody wants to call in and share what they intend to do, please do. But the first thing I was thinking we might do is to start considering what the universe might think we need to do. And to do that, I was thinking about doing a tarot reading for what the universe wants us to be doing. What's the universe's part in this? So, proceeding apace here, I'm going to go ahead and read those cards. And I had noticed that Tanya, I believe it was, said that she wanted to do a tarot reading but didn't have a phone. I can do them privately on Skype if you would like later on. Try contacting me tomorrow or thereafter, and I can set something up. So, but we're going to read for the universe tonight. By the way, Tanya's not the only one that offer is open to, by the way. So just, you know, if you need to get a hold of me on Skype. I have two Skype accounts. The one I regularly watch is Ketter.magic, M-A-G-I-C-K. And the other one is new.eridu. So, but I don't watch it as often. So if, don't expect an immediate reply if you go to New Eridu Skype. I need to change that. I ought to be watching that every day. But let's see what the universe has to say that we need to be doing this year. So let's see if I can even read for the universe. I don't think I've ever tried to read for the universe before. Come on, Source. Tell me what we need to do. This is kind of a misuse, I suspect, of the tarot cards, but we'll see what it'll take. All right, I'm starting to deal. Okay, the first card that I drew was the Queen of Wands, and that is the fiery female energy. Can we consider that perhaps the divine feminine is going to be coming out very strongly this year, and that she is going to be very much asserting herself? And let's see, what else? We've got the Ace of Cups. That's creative potential. So divine feminine, very much asserting herself and her creative potential. And the Knight of Discs. The Knight of Discs is one that takes a longer-term planning approach, very methodical, takes the long view of things, very practical and grounded. So this is the year for the divine feminine to come out strongly with her creative potential and grounded in reality, taking the longer view. Sounds about right to me. In our near future, we can expect, first of all, Three of Cups, abundance. Manifest abundance. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich. That doesn't mean we're all going to have to be able to quit our jobs. What that means is that we can learn what it really means to live abundantly. And the Queen of Cups, we've got a lot of cups here. Queen of Cups is a very elegant and calm presence, given much to reflection, to graciousness. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Naga. They're like that. They're very calm and very gracious. We could be more like them. It wouldn't hurt us one little bit. And the Two of Swords, which is peace. Now, you have to understand something about peace in the tarot. Peace doesn't necessarily mean a complete end to conflict. What it means is that we have reached a point at which we can stop fighting. So, in 2011, we can expect that we will stop fighting, at least needful fighting. We don't need to be fighting, and we need to make sure that others understand that we don't need to be fighting. The war on drugs, the war on terror, etc. First of all, you can't fight a concept, all right? We need to get that through to people. You can fight an enemy if the enemy's in your face. You can't fight a concept. So, near term, we learn to manifest our abundance. We learn to look graciously on things and impart a gracious influence wherever we go and to be calming influences. And we need to stand up for peace and make people understand that we don't need to be fighting anymore, that peace is a reality and we intend to make it manifest. Longer term future. Well, Five of Wands, strife. That means that we are going to have some opposition. That means that some power, probably a power that pretends, is not going to want to go quietly. Well, we could have kind of expected that one. So that's not a big surprise. If we've done our job in the near term, explaining that we don't need to be at war, we can be at peace. If we've done our job well in the near term on that one, and this person pops up, or this entity pops up, or this organization pops up, and says, no, 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 we need to still have war, we can look at them and go, nuh-uh. The next card I drew was the Empress. The Empress, again, is a divine feminine. This is the divine feminine, however, that has very practical worldly might. This is the female equivalent of the emperor, of the ruler. So this is the grounding of the divine feminine in worldly matters, in the position of power. So let's see how that one plays out. And the last card that I drew for the longer-term future was the Knight of Cups. The Knight of Cups is a symbol of a very idealistic person, the fellow who's chasing the Holy Grail. The Knight of Cups, he never quite gets his ideal. It's not the destination for him. It's the journey. So he's always going to be chasing after the next shiny thing. And I think we're pretty much like that. I think the whole universe is like that. We don't have stopping points. We don't have end points. But what that may mean, occurring where it is that we might get a glimpse of what the next shiny thing is, which means we're really, really close to achieving what we're trying to do here. So, longer term, we'll have opposition. There will be at least one more stand of the powers that pretend. The divine feminine will become ensconced as a worldly power. And we may see what's over the horizon? What's our next goal? You may get a glimpse of that. Now, here are the things that are our already existing resources that we have to bring to bear on this situation, on 2011. What do we have to do in 2011? The first one is fortune. That is just plain and simple roll of the dice. We're going to be trusting our luck a few times in this. And luck is probably going to be on our side. Luck usually doesn't show up in a fairly good position without it being something that's going to help you. Now, when I tell you what these next two cards are, you're going to go, oh, no. But this is something that is telling you how to use something. So bear with me here. The next card I drew was the Seven of Swords, which is futility. Futility is where you have your will aligned such that other parts of your will are opposing you. You're fighting an inward battle with yourself. Well, if humankind isn't like that, and if each one of us, to some extent, isn't like that, I'll eat my hat. We are certainly at cross purposes with ourselves. This is something we must work through. This is our lesson. This is the year that we get to confront that dead on and say, okay, I want to align all my forces and get them all in a row and all pointing towards my goal, which is ascension, which is to get through 2012, which is to get through the years after 2012 and finish the transition and get it grounded in reality. Because that's what it's going to take. And the more aligned you are, the easier the process will be. Because you need to align yourself internally and with other people and with Source. It's not a one-step process. It's a three-step process. And if you're fighting yourself, it doesn't matter how well aligned you are with others or with Source, you're still going to trip yourself up. So this is the year to really address that. Where am I aligned with my truth? Where am I aligned with the things I want to do? Where am I not aligned with them? The next card that I drew was the Eight of Swords, which is interference. Now, I want to tell you something funny about interference. The powers that pretend think that they have all of the interference. They think that they can throw disinformation at us. They think they can throw subliminal messages at us. They think that they can coerce us with violence and imprisonment and who knows what else. But you know something? We can interfere with them too. We can use their methods against them. And this may be the year that we start doing it. I am hearing on the local radio people openly talking about revolution. Because they've had it. And these are quiet people that have gone about their lives and lived conventionally and stayed out of trouble and paid their taxes, done all the things they were supposed to do. And they've had it. So we can expect that 2011 is going to be one of those years where people start doing things that are not in their character or what we think their character is, but is in their larger character, which may mean that they start tripping up things that shouldn't exist. Civil disobedience. WikiLeaks, assuming WikiLeaks is legitimate, which I'm not entirely sure that it is. Truth coming out. Whistleblowers. Non-compliers. We're going to see a lot of that. So the forces that we have already at our disposal, luck, internal alignment and the lessons that we're going to learn from establishing internal alignment, and the challenges we're going to face acquiring internal alignment, and learning how to fight back a little bit, reclaim our power, to do it in a civil way, to turn aside those things that are put in our way as roadblocks by the powers that pretend, learning the methods they use and using them against them. Sounds about right. And the things that the universe is going to put at our disposal These are gifts that we're going to get. We're going to be given to help us. The first one is the Two of Discs, which is change. Change in a balanced sense, in a natural cycle sense. We are coming to a node in a natural cycle. As a matter of fact, multiple nodes in a natural cycle. All coming together at once. And that's going to help us. Because if we're balanced properly, if we're riding that wave properly, we'll surf right through it. Those who are not, those who are not awake and aware, and who don't have their forces properly aligned internally, they're going to be flailing and scared and fighting themselves even worse. Those of us who have our stuff together are going to surf it, which means we get to write the rules the next time. So that change. Change is, if you'll notice, it doesn't say what kind of change. It can be for the better or it can be for the worse. But the trick here is it's going to give us the choice. That change is, what we do is going to bias what that change is. It may be a simple blank force for change. But what we bring into it is what we're going to get out of it. The next card I drew was the Prince of Discs. Again, practical action. This is a slow process again. The Prince of Discs in particular, he's sort of inertia. He sort of stands for the process of inertia and things that are heavy and slow moving, but immensely powerful and strong. And certainly natural forces that we're going to be dealing with have that quality. And the people that are insisting on biasing the change to our benefit, to our sovereignty, to our God consciousness, to our Creator consciousness, all of those things, all of those people have to be as stubborn as those natural forces that we're going to be encountering. We need to be every bit as powerful and intractable and inevitable. The universe is going to let us do that. It will lend us the quality of being that tenacious, being that stubborn, being that inevitable. And the last card that I drew was the Six of Wands, which is victory. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, victory comes at a cost. So we're not going to get it for free, but we'll get it. What the universe has to say to us for 2011. I hope that helped. Let me regroup myself here a little bit. You know, sometimes you want to know what's happening in your life, and you turn to something like tarot for an answer. And sometimes you find the answer, and it's not the one you wanted. And sometimes you find the answer, and it is the one you wanted. In this case, I think we got the one we wanted. But here's a little song that's written about finding out something that's coming that maybe you didn't want to know. This is Written in the Stars by Blackmore's Night.
Once written in the stars, a pathway set in stone. Guide your way back home, then somewhere in
Well, I'm seeing talk about being a beautiful paramount year in the chat room, 2011, being a big celestial party. Yeah, it is. And let me tell you, we got company already. If you look up in the night sky, you will see stuff up there. I'll tell you, and you can feel it. If you learn what the nights feel like when they're close versus when they're not close, like I have over the last year, you can feel them, whether there's cloud cover or not, whether you can see them or not. You can tell whether they're close by. And who all's here? I don't know who all. I know a lot of people are here. We have drawn a crowd. We have got a packed house. I know some of the players, but there's others out there. And, you know, there was a song, I think it was David Bowie did it, and I can't remember the name of it. Gary probably knows and can put it into the chat room for me. Talking about the starman that's wanting to meet us, but he's afraid he'd blow our minds. You know, that's kind of the case in some of these cases. One of the things that surprised the heck out of my alien astral contacts was that they could appear to me as they are, and it wouldn't freak me out. They were very surprised by that. But I had had years of training as a magician dealing with all manner of things. So I was used to seeing things in their energy forms and realizing that they don't, you know, things don't always look humanoid. And so they started dropping the illusion when I realized what was going on. Remember I had said that I was surprised because everybody looked humanoid? Well, I don't think even we look humanoid at this point. I think when we look in the mirror and we see ourselves, we're seeing an illusion. I don't think that's what we look like. I don't think that's what they look like. And I don't think it matters. So when we get together and we party, I'll tell you that one thing that is going to be universal, we're all going to like music and we're all going to like dancing and we're all going to like partying. We're going to have some serious fun together. And, of course, at any party, there's somebody that wants to crash the party. And I think I got a party crasher right now. I've got a caller, and I believe it is Marcus. Marcus, you're on the air.
Love, line, blessings to you, my dear sister of light, and to all your listeners, archive and live.
Wonderful. And what would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, it is, as you all know, is a year of tremendous change, and manifestation, growth, and expansion on a whole new level. If we thought last year was something, this year is going to be even bigger.
I'll agree with that. Do you have anything that you particularly want to manifest this year?
Okay. How about for the universe to provide for me all that I need on all levels of infinite abundance for the Phoenix Sunrise Foundation, which is my dream, to be a greater service to the planet, to also manifest what is for my personal highest good and the highest good, my sole mission and purpose of being here on the physical earth plane. So then not only is it for my own personal life experience, but also so that I can be a greater service to the greater good of the whole of creation.
Awesome. Do you have practical steps of how you're going to be grounding this in reality?
Well, I've been working with a few friends of mine on some ideas for some workshops, seminars, things like that. And one of them already has a nonprofit idea and all that, so we're going to bring in the Phoenix Sunrise Foundation into that piece, integrate it all together, and then co-create it together for the greater good of the whole.
Excellent.
And I can easily see how, yes, it's going to start off small with what we're already working on, but it will grow and expand to be of global service. Part of the Phoenix Sunrise Foundation is going to be just initial teaching, workshops, seminars, webinars, things like that online. But eventually we're going to be traveling the country and the world. We will also be ambassadors for our galactic family, like you and I already do, only in a more direct fashion, which, of course, you are welcome to be a part of it with me, which I kind of see that as a strong possibility. I leave that up to you because you have your own free will and choice. To be part of the Phoenix Sunrise Foundation.
I'll take a look at it, but I can't promise.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, we still have some work and steps to do to bring into completion. But from the future perspective, I already see it doing that service. Basically, we're going to be working on all levels of creation, working with the best Earth Twin technology in conjunction with the multidimensional, multi-universal light technology that we also work with and channel. So it's sort of like being the bridge, the rainbow bridge between the physical Earth plane and multiverse creator consciousness and creator consciousness from multiverse. And sort of being the bridge, bringing it all together.
Yeah, we have creator consciousness that's evolving on this planet. I was talking about that in my earlier show.
Right.
We definitely have taken our first baby step
with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is happening. Because, like I said, I'm not the only one in this work. I'm just putting together a team for a specific piece of the work. But I'm never in it by myself. Never. I'm always part of a team working together for the greater good of the whole. It's never me, myself,
cool.
and I.
Yeah. Well, the day of the individual working solely for themselves in terms of for their own benefit, that's over. We're done. The me generation is passé. So from now on, we have to work together.
Well, that's how it's meant to be. And those of us who are like-minded consciousness connect together with each other on whatever level we are, which Blog Talk Radio and the other online radio shows are a perfect avenue for that manifestation. As you know, the Blog Talk Radio shows and other online shows is a fourth dimensional manifestation tool that helps bring forth the fifth dimensional and higher manifestation in co-creation together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would agree with that. Anything else that you're thinking on? Do you have any predictions? Now, I want to say one thing. I want to keep it positive. I mean, we get lots of doom and gloom predictions. Have you got any predictions that are positive for 2011? What do you think is going to happen that's going to be positive?
As more and more of us truly awaken and help guide others to fully awaken into their true divinity and oneness with each other and with all of creation, we will co-create together the highest potentiality and probability in our present linear and nonlinear experience in the present moment now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but in the present linear moment now, and co-create heaven on earth within all of our life experiences now. And in doing so, we will also bring us into full conscious awareness with the highest of divine galactic family beings that you and I know that are here to help us, to guide us, and to love us and support us. There also
are parent races,
if you will, that are working with us, as you and I know personally from personal experience, and really work with them directly and be able to bring them forth into communication directly with those here on the physical earth plane that are not fully awakened yet but are well on their way to that are ready for that direct interaction and communication, whether it be channel messages through us, you, me, and others, or for them to actually see them standing right by our side, standing next to you and me. Let's just visualize you and me standing next to each other physically, and say a Pleiadian or Garmadian, or for example, standing right there with us, communicating directly to them, and they are fully seen and heard directly.
Yes. Yeah.
And we are co-creating that in this present new moment. Now, you and I are talking about this, so you and I are now creating this together with the others that are listening to the show now.
Yes. Yes, that would be the logical next step of the evolution. It definitely would be. So that's a good thing to create.
And one other thing to be aware of is don't stay focused and centered within divinity within the greater good of the whole. And do not pay attention to what they have on for TV shows, movies, or what have you. Just stay centered in the divine truth.
Oh, yes.
Divine love.
I threw my TV away. Actually, I gave it away about 5 years ago, and I haven't missed it. And I don't go to movies. My contact with the outside world in that regard is through the computer. And I can pick and choose what I receive through that.
Right, exactly.
So that's something I recommend wholeheartedly, is to, if you have a media addiction, break it now. Break your media addiction now, because that's part of the control system.
As are the video games and all that.
Yeah. I'm grouping that into the media.
Right.
I never played the video games. I always was bad at them, so I didn't play them.
Well, my 18-year-old is definitely addicted to them. There's no doubt about that.
Oh.
He is. And so many of his peers are, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what makes them so addictive. It just, they make me frustrated and I want to quit.
Yes, I know. It's almost like there's something hypnotic in them, or subliminal, that keeps them addicted.
It probably is. It
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. But your point about being in the now moment and working through the now moment, that was something I said on my earlier show about the Naga people. One of the things that they do really, really well is that they stay in the moment. So if you stay in the moment, you deal with the stuff as it comes up in the moment. So you never have problems with carrying forward karma or grief or, guilt or anything like that. You deal with it right then and there when it happens. If you do exactly what you should do in every moment, stuff doesn't accumulate on you. So you don't have to deal with it later. It's very freeing, and it's very stabilizing, and it's very calming. And
exactly.
If they could teach us one lesson, that would be the lesson that I would pick for them to teach us, because they do
right.
It beautifully.
So true. I mean, basically what we need to learn to do is transmute and clear that which we are not, that we think we are, and fully come into a full conscious awareness of our true divinity through the God consciousness within our soul, and to be that God consciousness, be that higher self that we truly are. And anything which does not serve our personal highest good, any mental, emotional patterns or beliefs, contracts or agreements, transmute and clear them now, and ask our angelic guides and so forth to help us to make it manifest now. And allow it to happen. Go with the flow. Let go of expectations and just be. Be in the now. Be in the divine moment. So be it as so.
As it already is. Well, I'm going to take a little break here. Is that okay with you? Am I cutting you off?
No,
I was going to take a little break here. And play a little more party music, since we're partying on the end of the first day of 2011. And this is Perry Farrell and Satellite Party, Wishing on a Dog Star.
I'll get your groove on, new shiny shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're back, and I've got Marcus still on the line, and I think, let's see, Dream Master said he's going to try to call in, so let's see if he shows
up. Canada.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, Dream Master has great energy.
Yet, yeah, he does, absolutely. So let's see if he shows up. But in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about whenever you go to a party, you have to, like, bring a hostess gift. You have to bring something with you. You got to bring some CDs. You got to bring some Pepsi, you know, bag of chips or something. That's just sort of required.
Right.
What are we going to bring to this particular party? What is it that we're going to be asked to bring? What do you think? I think an open mind.
Sharing
right?
of our dreams from the highest vibration of our being. And we open and receptive to that which others have to share from their highest of their beingness.
Well, I think that starts with what? Knowledge of self, right?
Right.
You have to know yourself before you can express that.
Being open to our co-creation together from the greater good of the whole, from the divinity within each of us. That's why it's so important to always be open, receptive to messages that come from anyone. Whether it be a child or someone else. Quite often when I'm working with someone or teaching someone something and I'm sharing an experience, for example, and then they have an experience that they had or some understanding they have from my experience or what have you, and then I can learn something from that. Or as I'm answering their question and I'm sharing information for them, new information flows through me to help them that gives me the clarity that I need on that subject that I didn't even know on a conscious level. So anything is possible.
Yeah, I would agree. Some of the most interesting lessons I've received in life, I have not received from a human being. I've received it from an animal or from a situation, which is kind of interesting too. So,
exactly.
And kids, you know, the thing with kids is sometimes they can speak the truth, whereas an adult has already gotten bound up to where they can't speak it anymore. So it's really particularly important, I think, to listen to our kids and to listen to what our relationships say, who our relationships are with, you know, what the normal outcome of a relationship is in our lives. That speaks volumes to what we're really doing with ourselves. Another thing that I think we need to bring to the party is the willingness to stop striving. We have been conditioned to strive, to make everything, we actually make stuff harder on ourselves because we were conditioned to by the Anunnaki as part of their controls. And we need to stop striving and just let things happen and let things be. And I struggle with that one myself. So you notice my language. I say I struggle with it. When what I ought to be doing is just relaxing and letting it happen. And there's just, I'm not used to that. I don't know how to do that. We need to learn how to do that. You go on board anybody's ship. And I don't care if they're Anunnaki, Naga, Pleiadian, whatever. You don't see anybody stressing out. It doesn't happen. They don't stress out. If somebody's having a problem, somebody else will go over and not say a word and help them and not expect anything, and there will be no repercussions. Because not everybody can do everything every time by themselves. That's the nature of the universe. And for some reason, human beings were taught that we had to. So we need to let go of that and
right.
learn how to ask for help, or just learn how to accept the help when it's offered. So many people won't even accept help when it's offered to them.
Or
so
if there's help available, quite often there's an opportunity that we pray and ask for help. And opportunity comes before us time and time again, and we simply don't see it because we're stuck in our own drama, our own limited perspective, instead of really allowing ourselves to be aware of that which is laid forth in front of us for possibilities.
Yep, that's correct. Seeing opportunities. Seeing what's in front. I think you have to be in the now moment, though, to see that, right? Because most people
yes.
who are looking for an opportunity and needing an opportunity, the reason they're there is because they've traveled too far down the road.
Right.
And their mind is in the future, or their mind is in the past, worrying about something.
Right.
It's not right where they are.
Now, one thing in the book, which I just got to just start reading it, which talks about after disclosure, which is going to be happening over the next few months. And, I mean, from what I've seen, read so far, it's a very good book. And I've heard the authors and the wife of the author on other shows. Can I put the information to get the book in the chat?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, there it goes. And it's a very good book, and the author is really good, did a lot of very intense research to write the book, and he's written other books that were very good as well.
Is this someone you know, or is this just a book that you picked up somewhere?
No, I've heard them talk on Blog Talk Radio shows a few times, and also the wife was also on a Blog Talk Radio show as well, so I've heard them talk a few times on
okay.
you know, live. Uh-huh. And I got very good feeling energetically from them every time.
Oh, good.
Okay. But they physically have
so
the
it's not
book.
Just something
I just got
you...
it a couple of days ago. No.
Okay.
I wouldn't order the book unless I had a very good feeling about it from them all, you know, listening to their voice on live.
Oh, okay, good. Well, Dream Master just said that he couldn't get through, so I'm sorry about that. I don't know why he's not having any luck getting in, but maybe next time. And
yeah.
Heck, maybe I can
sometimes
have him on as a guest.
Yeah, maybe sometimes Skype has issues with Blog Talk Radio, and it may be Skype's own issues, it may be Blog Talk Radio's issues, it's hard to know which. But that's,
yeah.
Since he's in Canada, it's probably how he's trying to call in.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, I may add 800 service, but I haven't done that yet because I don't have the bankroll for it at the moment.
Right.
Anyway, what I'm thinking about doing at this point is just kicking the energy all the way up as far as we can and ending the show at this point. I'm trying to decide. I think I'm going to play a song that will kind of wake us up a little bit. And the song that I'm going to play is by Shaman's Dream, and it is Love the World Awake.